Good morning. It is an honor and privilege again to stand here before the congregation for another quarantine service while you are watching from the comfort of your own home. I welcome you all this morning as we celebrate God's goodness through us, through our mothers. Today, we are celebrating probably, the most underpaid and the most underappreciated job in the history of humanity. With that in mind, I would like to honor all the mothers in our congregation. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all your hard work and your love for your family. To my mom, Nai, who is listening right now in the Philippines, I just want to say that I love you and thank you for raising me and my siblings. Thank you for everything that you gave to us and you continue to. I just pray that you keep yourself safe and trust the Lord that you will be back here soon. I also thank the Lord for my wife. I love you. Thank you for everything that you are doing to our family. Tirelessly working at home, and may God continue to bless you and continue to love me and our sons, Nathan and Samuel. And to all the mothers who are listening this morning, my prayer for you today is to continue to serve God and to love your family through the ministry of motherhood. This morning, I would like to confess before I start my sermon, and ask forgiveness to the Lord, because this is the hardest sermon I have ever had to prepare. I struggled with many things when I was preparing and studying. Maybe part of the struggle is because I am not a mother and I cannot directly relate. Trust me, I bug my wife a lot to help me, and I thank her for that, and I thank the Lord for her life. I pray that despite of my shortcomings, that God will be glorified and all the mothers will be blessed. Amen. So today's message is called Living on a Prayer. Yep, that song of Bon Jovi. But before you start singing that, or you can sing it if you want, before you start singing that song, let me remind you with this short message. To give it a new meaning for you today. Although this message is directed to our mothers, those who are listening this morning, whether you are single or married without children, female or male, may you find yourself encouraged and blessed by God's word today. My aim this morning, through the help of the Holy Spirit, is to encourage you and to seek God and turn to Him in every difficult season of your life. I acknowledge that your motherhood is one of the highest calling that God can bestow on any woman. It is a privilege and a sacred duty, and it can be overwhelming. I recognize that your duty as a mother is not easy, and I am sure that this morning you do not want to hear or anything to add to your to-do list, right? But during this time of quarantine, and while we are in lockdown, you might be feeling anxious, worried, and stressed. You may have lost your job and do not know how you will meet your financial needs. You may be on the front lines and worry about making your family sick or getting the virus yourself. You may be belong to a vulnerable age group and worried about your health. You may be stressed with your children being away from school and learning how to teach them at home, trying to keep with their homework while trying to juggle with your own work and housework. So my question for you this morning, mothers, where do you draw your strength when you are faced with problems and obstacles, when you are in need, when you are sorrowful, who do you turn to? As we celebrate Mother's Day this morning, we will be looking at the life of Hannah and her influence and the life as a godly mother. There are a lot of mothers in the Bible who can talk that we can talk about, but Hannah stands out for me. Her deep knowledge and faith and love, it's a great example for all the women and mothers to follow. This is evidenced by the way she handled the biggest obstacle in her life, and that is through prayer. So let's begin with her personal background. Who is Hannah? Hannah was an unknown woman living in a remote part of Israel in the hill country of Ephraim with her husband Elkanah. Elkanah was a descendant of Levi, by the way, of Kohath. The Kohathites were one of the three major lines in the tribe of Levi. This was an important clan because Moses and Aaron were Kohathites. The sons of Kohath were assigned to a responsibility for the most sacred furnishing of the tabernacle, including the Ark of the Covenant. As we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3 to 7, we can see that Hannah faithfully traveled with Elkanah to the tabernacle at Shiloh every year to worship and offer sacrifice. Although Hannah's marriage was not a perfect one, Hannah was the first wife, but because of her barrenness, meaning she could not have children, Elkanah married Peninnah, who bore him children. Because her husband was a bigamist, meaning he had two wives, Hannah's home life was often troubled and sorrowful. Peninnah deliberately provoked her, teasing her about the fact that the Lord withheld children from her. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, it says, "And her rival used to provoke her grievously and irritate her because the Lord has closed her womb. So it went on year by year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord. She used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat." Can you imagine repeatedly being tormented by hurtful words from someone in your home? How would you react? If you have that person that keep saying hurtful words to you, how would you react? Listen, we all have a Peninnah in our lives. Whether it is your own doubts or insecurities, probably negative events that happen in your life, or another person. It is designed to push us in our limitation and make us turn to God for help, just like Hannah did. We see this in Hannah's life because she didn't let anything to stop her from continuing to be faithful to God. He wants us to trust in Him and believe in our heart that He will bless us in due time, if it is His will. God will continue to use situations to agitate us, and we need to appreciate these people that God allows to test our faith. Going back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7, said that because of Peninnah's hurtful words, Hannah wept bitterly and literally could not eat at times. She was in constant anguish because of her own infertility. The burden and stress made her life almost unbearable. She longed to be a mother. This was her greatest desire in her life. It was very important in that culture to have children who could maintain in the family inheritance and family name. Having sons was viewed as being of utmost importance, so Hannah's situation would have been overwhelmingly sad. Hannah was the poorest woman biblical history to suffer through infertility. Before her, three other women endured the despair of not being able to conceive. Sarah was the first, followed by Rebecca, and then Rachel. But let's look at the differences in the way they handled this difficult situation. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 12, it says that Sarah laughed at the angel's proclamation that God would give her a child. It says in verse 12, "So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?' The Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Shall I indeed bear a child? And now that I am old?" She made things worse by telling Abraham to take Hagar as his wife." Then in the case of Rebecca, she questioned God in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22. After God granted her and Isaac their desire to have children, it says in verse 22, it says, "The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" Lastly, in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, we can see that Rachel blamed her husband Jacob for her own infertility. It says, "When Rachel saw she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, 'Give me children or I shall die.'" When we are faced with trouble, our natural human response is to be like this woman. Like Sarah, we often laugh or we doubt God's promises because sometimes it's not logical. Like Rebecca, when there is trouble, we question God. Like Rachel, we blame others for our troubles. But Hannah is a totally different story. She trusted God without any doubt or concern. Hannah accepted God's promises with unwavering faith. She was deeply distressed, and she brought this to God in prayer. And she did not blame her husband, Elkanah, for her infertility, because she knows that children are heritage from God, and they are a gift from God. It says in Psalm chapter 127, verse 3. So despite of her situation, Hannah had a deep and abiding love for God. She had a deep spiritual passion, and she loved to talk to God through prayers. She is a devout woman, and she trusted the Lord fully that one day her prayer will be answered. We can see this when Hannah visited Shiloh, where the tabernacle of the Lord was. She poured out her heart in prayer before the Lord. She asked the Lord for a son, promising that if the Lord answered, she would dedicate her son to serving God all of his life. Eli, the high priest, saw Hannah praying silently and earnestly, and though at first she was drunk, after rebuking her, Eli heard Hannah's explanation and realized she had been praying. He replied, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition you have made to him." So, according to Matthew Henry's commentary, she spoke all this so softly that none could hear her. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Hereby, she testified her beliefs of God's of the knowledge and its desire. Thoughts are words to him, nor is he one of those gods that must be cried aloud to. It was likewise an instance of her humility and holy shamefacedness in her approach to God. She was none of those that made her voice to be heard on high. It was a secret prayer, and therefore, though made in public place, yet was thus made secretly, and not as the Pharisees prayed, to be seen of men. It is true prayer, it is not a thing we have reason to be ashamed of, but we must avoid all appearances of ostentation. Let what passes between God and our soul be kept to ourselves. So we can learn from the life story of Hannah that her knowledge and understanding of God and who God is and how much she trusted God, she knew where to go where the situation is out of control. She never attacked her husband or even complained about her situation to him. Instead, she went straight to the Lord and brought her case to God. Despite of being wrongfully judged by Eli, who mistook her for being drunk, she was gracious in her response. She could have easily defended herself against him. Her humility and grace in speech is a sign of a godly woman. Again, her humility and grace in speech is a sign of a godly woman. Now, mothers, when our good intention is being questioned, how do you respond? Are we like Hannah, who can respond calmly and graciously? Because Hannah was faithful in prayer, believing in God that only he's the one, could bless her heart desire. Because of her faithful in prayer, God granted it, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. After Samuel was weaned, she took him to Eli and said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." Here we can see that also Hannah is also true to her promise by giving back Samuel to the Lord. And she was able to fulfill her vow. And she prayed yet again in chapter 2. It says, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, "And Hannah and prayed and said, 'My heart exults in the Lord. My heart is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not your arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.'" Hannah began this beautiful prayer with so much joy in her heart and gratitude to the Lord. Here we can understand why Hannah had so much joy, because she was given a son and now she's able to fulfill her vow by giving Samuel back to the Lord. From what we've learned in the beginning, this makes her vow very special, because this is the child that she waited for years and wanted desperately and cried out and prayed from the Lord for. So as we can see, she was constantly in prayer, both when she was in need and also in happy and joyful times. Prayer was not only something she did when she was in need or in want. She prayed constantly if she's in need, and even if she's joyful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." In closing, we learned from the life of Hannah that when we are faced with trials and tribulations, we need not to complain or blame others or try to solve the problems ourselves. Instead, we must turn to God, who is our only hope. Trust in His promises and rejoice in Him at all times. Let's pray.